Hey there, and welcome to Marriage Talks, a real, authentic, and relatable podcast about how to thrive in your marriage.
Here you'll find helpful information based on a biblical worldview on all things marriage-related, sex, money, parenting, and so much more. We are Michael and Elizabeth, and welcome to the show.
Welcome to today's show. I'm very excited to talk about the five love languages because I feel like it's long overdue.
Yeah. I just realized I'm like way behind you and you're like turning around to look at me.
I feel like this is kind of your typical marriage content and we haven't even covered it yet.
Yeah, this is the,
which is kind of crazy.
We're in the upper 80s in our episodes and we're just now hitting the famous Gary Chapman book.
Yes.
Didn't he also write Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus?
I have no idea.
We should look that up.
I have no idea.
If so, holy cow, he's done really well for himself.
I'm very excited to talk about this because I do like personality tests, but I have a caveat to them and I will share that after we tell you that this episode is sponsored by the Marriage Talks Patreon page. There is a link in the show notes, and if you follow that link, you will see different tiers and different things that we offer, more direct access to us. Plus, it also supports the ministry of Marriage Talks, which means the world to us. So we would love for you to check it out.
Yeah. I was totally lost. I was like, where do I go? Yeah, and we also want to encourage you, as always, you know the drill, rate and review the show on your favorite podcast player so that we can hear from you. We'd love to hear real life reviews and how the podcast is helping you guys. And also, rating helps us to be surfaced number one on any marriage-related searches. So
yes,
let's do it, baby.
Yes, please do it. Plus, we also read all the reviews, so you will hear your review as long as it's not mean on the podcast. If it's mean, please don't leave a review.
Yeah, if you do leave a mean one, we'll read and talk crap about you.
No.
Just kidding.
No.
All right. So let's kind of give a background on the five love languages so we're all talking about the same thing. So
yes.
What are the five love languages?
The five love languages are receiving gifts, words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, and acts of service.
Yeah. And this is based on a book that's actually at this point pretty darn old. But
yeah, it's been around for a while.
But it's one of those things where relationships have a lot of common things that were still true 30 years ago when it was written.
Yes.
As they are now in the digital age.
Yes.
It's a hard word to say. I've not read it. Before we get too far in, I've not read it and Elizabeth has not read the book. So we're not doing like a book review.
No.
But we're going to use like what we know.
Well, I think the five love languages are pretty self-explanatory. And the point is that now they have created a five love languages quiz. So it's just like any other personality quiz. You answer questions and it kind of gives you a ranking of like you have so much percent in this category and so much percent in that category. And I like these personality tests or these relationship tests because it gives you a good idea as to you as a person. And it helps like, so when we've talked about this before on the show, we've done counseling. And when we did counseling, we did a couple personality things that we've never done before. And it was extremely revealing. We did one where you had to rank seven things from most important to least important. And the one, like I was doing it for myself, but I was like, oh, I totally think that like number one for Michael is going to be physical touch. And I was like dead wrong. I think it was last for you.
It was respect.
Yeah, respect was your
respect
was the top one. But the point was is that it helped me understand him way better than I ever would have because we wouldn't have done that on our own. And so doing this, it's not going to be 100% accurate. Like this is the way you are and you will never change. And it's 100% accurate. It's like, no, it just gives you a good idea of what makes Michael tick. Therefore, how can I best love him? Because if I love him the way I want to be loved, it's not going to work. I'm going to miss the mark every time. So I need to know those things about him. He needs to know those things about me so that we can improve our marriage and the way we show affection towards each other.
Yeah, it's just like the shortcut to kind of get into your spouse's like best mode, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, because if I'm uh, if I do the test and then Elizabeth knows that I like to receive gifts, then when she buys me something nice, it's going to be like, it's like, it's like, do you ever play? No, I know you didn't. If you ever play Pokemon,
yeah, old school, Pokemon.
And you do like, if you do an electric attack on a water Pokemon, it says it's super effective. Like when you do the attack and you said you hit him and it's super effective.
Oh, it's his Achilles heel.
Yeah. And that's what basically this kind of information will be.
Yeah. So it's, that's the way I like the personality test, the relationship test. They are not gospel. They are not like I said, 100% accurate, and they will change because you will change as a person. Things will become more of a priority later in your life and things will switch around. But for right now, for like the season that we're in, we both took the test and we're going to share our results in a little bit, but it was really good because I mean, I've known Michael, we've been together since 2007. And if you would have said, okay, rank these for Michael, I would have been wrong. And I think Michael would have been wrong for me. Like we would not have been 5 for 5. I don't think.
No, 5 for 5, absolutely not.
No. I think we would have gotten a couple right, but...
Also, mine are so close, it's almost like, I don't know about that. And just like any other test, again, I think I feel like a broken record here, but it's a really short test on the website. Yeah. We will leave the link in the show notes to the test so you can do it and your spouse can do it. It's also kind of cool. They have singles, couples, teens... military, all kinds of different zones in the website.
We haven't looked at them, so we can't tell you what's in them.
So
but
like
just...
if you fit into a certain category, you might find a little extra good stuff. And I don't know if the book is particularly like a Christian type of book. I would assume it's not, but don't quote me on that. So we just don't know. It's just something we haven't explored a whole lot beyond.
Yeah, we're not speaking to like the foundational theology of the book or whether or not it holds true against the Bible and things like that. So don't hear what we're not saying. I think that understanding where receiving gifts, words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, where those rank at for you as a person, I think those are good things to know. Again, we haven't read the book, so we're not necessarily saying like, the book is amazing and it's all true. Like, we just don't know. If you've read it, great. Share your thoughts with us. We'd love to hear. But we think that taking these tests are good to a certain extent.
Yeah, but don't rely too heavily on them.
I feel like what we're saying is like contradictory.
Who, you and I?
Yes. I want to be clear. Like, these are important to do. These are important to do. I think the best example of like people who really get gung-ho about a personality test is the Enneagram, right? So the Enneagram is like the latest personality test and people are like, I'm just a 7 and that's how I am. I don't even know what the 7 stands for, but you know, they say their number and like, that's just how I am. Don't change me. So it's like, it almost becomes a crutch for you as a person. Like, this is how I'm going to behave. So just know that about me. But what I'm saying is that I don't have anything against the Enneagram or the 5 love languages that we're specifically talking about. I think they're a good insight.
It's funny. I hadn't heard anything about Enneagrams for 6 months and I was so happy, but I didn't realize it until just now. I was like, oh yeah, Enneagrams. Ugh.
Yeah.
They swept the nation for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what we're trying to say. We're not trying to be contradictory. We're just saying these are really good insight. You will change as a person. You will evolve. But we think they have some merit to them. Okay, so now let's get into it. So when it comes to loving your spouse, the thing that I loved about taking this test was it reminds you that love is not a one-size-fits-all. So I think we can get caught up in the like... what?
So I was wondering, like, why are you holding the mic stand so much this episode? And then you let go of it, started talking, and you whacked it. I was like, that's why.
I'm talking with my hands, and so I'm just being very energetic today.
You do you. I'll just watch.
So when you think of like a one size fits all love equation, you know, it could be easy for like the guy to get into a routine of like just bringing flowers home. And then like the girl just saying, okay, let's just have sex, you know, like that's just like my default, my go-to, here's how I love you. I'll bring you flowers. That'll make you happy. I'll offer up sex time for you. That'll make you happy. And then we're good. You know, like that's kind of the, there's a one size fits all.
It sounds like a transactional love.
It very much so is.
Yeah.
So that's not good. Love is not a one size fits all. I would have told you, Michael and I have actually had a very interesting conversation over the past couple of days because we've talked about physical touch. I swear physical touch for Michael is so much higher than I think he gives it credit for. But when he does all these like rankings or tests or, you know, different quizzes that we've done, it's always lower. And so we've kind of just been like having this ongoing conversation of like, why is it that Michael is touching me or like hugging me or kissing on me?
That's what she does. That's what she asks when I do it. Like, why are you touching
no,
me?
No, I don't ask that. I don't like push him away or anything like that. But
so it's a hilarious image. It isn't that I was kidding for, just in case y'all don't know that.
But it's kind of made him like stop and think like, oh, I thought I was doing it for this reason, but maybe if I think about it a little bit longer, maybe there is a like just as important reason or a reason that I haven't really thought about that is actually why I want to be so physical with you.
Yeah. For example, just so you know, kind of what we're talking about, I am super, super deliberate in our house about like hugs from behind, a little quick, you know, tap on the booty kind of thing, a little good game. Or just like kissing her a lot. Like I try to be really mindful. Like I've made a point to do that. And I've always thought, until we did this the other day, I've always thought I was doing it for her because she needs affirmation. And I know she likes to sit ridiculously close, like suffocatingly close on the couch. Hey. I'm just joking. but she's like, whenever we're on the couch, we have this 120-inch couch and she loves to be like hip to hip. And so she was like, oh, she loves physical touch. You know, I'll make sure I'll deliver that throughout the given day. And I just kind of always think of her when I do that. But then after doing this, I was like, wait, I might be doing it more for myself than I realized. I was like, could I go a whole day without doing that deliberately? It's like, no, I don't really want to.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I value it more than I realized.
Yeah.
So it's like, I do it for her on my conscious level, but I'm doing it for me a little more subconsciously and kind of now becoming more that realization.
Yeah. Well, I think the conscious level is like Michael wants to make me feel desired and to feel like that I am beautiful and that he finds me attractive
in every single way.
Exactly.
Words can't bring me down.
And so like to him, that was like, well, that's why I'm doing it, which is true. And it is true that I need it, even though physical touch may not be like ranked super high on what I would like, because the point of these tests is you have to pick one to be the priority and then number two and so on. And so at some point, things that you thought might have been a higher priority might be lower on your list. But like there is another reason to Michael being so physical with me, aside from him wanting to show me that he desires me. I am a desirable woman to him. He thinks that I look beautiful and so on. He's also doing it partly for himself because I was like, I think you crave the touch. And I don't know I'm not saying that is a bad thing. And like that's not a good reason. It's like, I think all married couples need to have physical intimacy. I think that's really, really important. And I think if I were to ever say to myself or to you that I don't need it, I think that's a lie. I think it's a big part of marriage. It's important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was just imagining a marriage without any intimacy, and that sounds very boring.
It's heartbreaking. Like, we're designed to be together. That's biblical. Genesis 2:24. Like, we are designed to be together. That's the way that God made us. So when you have a marriage where like you are choosing to not have physical intimacy, there are other health reasons why that may not be able to be present. And that's not what we're talking about. But when you are just saying, I don't need it, I don't want it from you, from my spouse, that's not the way God created us. And so it's an important thing to have in your marriage. But it was just been, it's been a really interesting conversation as of late, being married for close to 10 years now, which is kind of crazy to say that we're approaching
10 years in August.
Yeah.
Woo.
Which is by the grace of God. It's incredible.
Yeah. And also I always said, like in year 2, 3, 4, when we hit 10 years, we're going to go to Europe together for the first time. Needless to say, that will not be happening in the 10 year anniversary, but there's plenty of denominations of 5 that we can use, 15, well, 20.
Not only because of COVID and the state of the world, but also because I'm not going to take a massive trip being like freshly having a baby.
Yeah, it's true.
To me, that's just not fun. I just want to be at home after having a baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just been a really good conversation to have and to kind of peel back like the layers of why, like what's our motivation for doing those things. But I think going back to it's important to remember a one size does not fit all. So if you feel like maybe you're stuck in a love exchange routine where you just do this and your spouse does that, you know, take the 5 love languages quiz and find out where all these things rank for you. Because if physical touch is the number one for Michael, then because I want to love him well and continue to improve our marriage, I am going to make a more conscious effort of like touching him and being physically close to him and pursuing him on a physical manner. And that's not to say that like I'm having to drudge through it and I don't want to do it. It's that I want to serve him. And that is a really great way for me to serve and love him, by putting his needs first of what he values as like his top priority for receiving love, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And then, yeah, talk with your results with your spouse. And one like marriage hack would be take the quiz in such a way where you get really high on receiving gifts and then show it to your wife and you'll get tons of cool stuff.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
No, you have to answer it honestly. 'Cause I told Michael, when he first took it, I was like, I don't think that's right. And here's why. And I kind of called him out on it.
And then I came clean and I did not want a specific, it was weird because it's not super sophisticated. So when you're reading it, you kind of know which one you're picking. Like, oh, those are clearly words of affirmation. That's a gift one. And I kept seeing the gift ones. I was like, I don't want my top result to be gift. Getting gifts seems shallow. So I didn't pick it. And then I mentioned that, and her point was, which was true, if you're like gaming the thing, it's not good. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So I retook it. But what's funny is I still got receiving gifts last.
Yeah. So, which is fine. And if receiving gifts is number one, that's fine.
Also, I do feel like I like receiving gifts a lot, but I guess it's the other priorities that are more important.
Yeah, that's the hard thing, is you have to pick one over the other. You can't have them both.
Well, let's talk about a result. So I'll go first. What's funny about this is that out of the 100%, mine are so close to tying.
Yours are.
It's kind of like, is this even helpful? So
it gives me lots of options, which is nice.
I got, I love gifts. 23% acts of service, 20% quality time, 20% words of affirmation, 20% physical touch, and 17% receiving gifts. So my entire range was 17 to 23% between my top and my bottom one, and a 3-way tie dead center. That's weird and hilarious.
Yes.
And basically, the sky's the limit. You have choices, Beth. So you can.
I do.
You can choose any of the 5. You can do 5 a day if you want to. I won't say no.
Yes, I thought that was really interesting. Your margin of high to low is very small.
Mm-hmm.
5%, 6%.
I'm just an average
6%
guy.
Yeah, very low. Mine range a lot more than yours.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's 32% words of affirmation. I knew that was going to be high for me. I do need that affirmation. I've known that about myself for a long time. Like, I feel good when I am praised for something, which I think is partly why I like would try my absolute best to be the best person on whatever sports team I was on. Because then you're the best player. You're like, yeah, you did a good job. It's like, yeah, I know, because I'm the best. Being very shallow in high school.
Sounds like we need to take a personality test to discover how self-centered you are. I know.
Well, hey, that's world without having your like having a good relationship with the Lord. Like that was not a priority for me in high school. So yeah, I found my like my identity and affirmation in sports and being trying to be the best on the team.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did it kill you when you weren't?
Yeah, I wanted to be the best.
Were you ever not?
That's type A perfectionist. Well, yeah. There were things on whatever sports team I was on. There were like different things that somebody else was better at than I was. So I'm telling you, the Lord has done a lot of work.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. So then my second one is 29% acts of service.
No surprise there for me, because it's actually one of the biggest like conversation pieces we end up having over and over. It's like, hey, I really need some more help.
Yes.
Around the house, that type of thing.
Yes.
I would love it if you would kind of take this on. And that really makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, and it makes a huge difference when Michael steps up and does things to take things off my plate. I am 100% more willing to push things aside to be physically intimate. Because I get caught up in this mindset of, I've got to get these things done. I've got to provide for people. I got to make sure the kids are set and Michael's set and the house is set and the dog is set. And then I think about being physically intimate last. And we've done an episode on that, and it's been a lot of heart change and mind shift change, and it's been really, really good. It's been a lot of work, but it's been very good work, and it's produced a lot of great things within our marriage. But it helps so, so much when Michael's like, yes, let me do these things for you. And I feel like a burden has been lifted off my shoulders, really. So yeah, 29% acts of service. 19% quality time. I actually thought that was going to be a lot higher on my list, but who knows? Maybe 5 years from now it will be. But
yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't higher too, because I would put quality time as your number one. I love, so like at the end of the night, sometimes if Elizabeth goes to bed, sometimes I'll just kind of hang out for a few extra minutes just to have a little bit of like nobody bothering me, no one's around. I crave that. You know, within limits, a little alone time.
Sure.
I'm not like a loner.
It's like a recharge time for you.
Exactly. But Elizabeth's like, alone time. That I hate this. It's like, if I were to go on a weekend vacation, she's dying. Not that I go vacation, but like a bachelor party. I went to one, it's been like 7 years now, but like a bachelor party in Savannah, you're miserable without me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I'm that cool, but just like that's how she's wired.
I love having time with Michael so much that we could be in like our worst argument and he'll get up and leave and I'll be like, where are you going? He's like, clearly I need to get away from you. You don't like me right now. I was like, no, you can stay and we can figure this out. I'm like, no, we have to be in the same room. Like, I do not kick him out of the bed. I don't, but we don't subscribe to that. And so that's something that is interesting, because we will be having an argument and you're like, I need to step away. And I'm be like, but wait, no, I need for you to stay.
Is that more resolution desire? Or is that more like quality time?
No, like quality time and closeness. Like,
okay.
I want to have you close. Yeah.
Yeah. Closeness, like locked in battle.
So yes, that's 19% quality time, 19% physical touch. It's not really a surprise to me that that's lower on the list, because really you have to pick one. Like, one has to be higher than the other. And
I guess that's the only explanation for that being low, because you're like I said, we're like hip to hip on the giant couch. We could both lay down and not touch each other.
I like snuggling.
That's what I'm saying. It should be higher. Yeah. Retake it.
Yeah. Well, because it allots you 100%. So you have to allow for certain percent to each thing. So
yeah, it is a 5-way split of 100 too, so it's not, in some ways, not surprising that the ranges of some of these are not huge.
Now, if you've been doing the math, 32 29 19 19, I have not been counting that up, but I'm gonna say it's 100.
I'm pretty sure nobody has been tallying it so far.
Because There's 0% left for receiving gifts. I got a 0% on receiving gifts. And that's a lot for upbringing. That's not how love was really expressed heavily in my house growing up. And we have basically a philosophy growing up of where should your treasure be? And it's an ongoing conversation that was incredibly intentional in my house. That is not to say that if you like receiving gifts as a way of love, I'm not shaming you or saying that's bad. I'm just saying that's not surprising for me because of the conversations and the lifestyle that was a part of my house. It also helps if you grow up and you just don't have the money to spend on gifts.
Yeah. When I saw the results for this and 0% receiving gifts. So I guess those AirPods Pro I just bought you need to go back to the store because you are not going to appreciate them.
But here's the thing. It may say 0%, but I really love it when Michael spoils me. I feel very taken care of. I thank him profusely.
You do. I'm totally kidding.
I'm very, very appreciative of that because he knows I'm not going to go out and do that. The quote, nice things that I have, I don't buy for myself. Michael has to surprise me and not tell me that he's bought these things because I will tell him not to buy it.
Yeah, I've done this like a lot over the last 5 years.
You have.
It's usually a technology item that I've researched to the ends of the earth. Like, this is exactly for her. She'll never go for it. So I'm just going to do it. She'll love it once she gets it.
Yeah, which is always true. And I'm always shocked. But it's, you know.
Do we have the money for this? Yes, I did the budget. I'm good.
Yeah, that wasn't really a surprise to me. But I do, like, I wish there was more than 100% that I could give it some percentage. But yeah.
It's there. Just the test didn't catch it.
Yeah. So, like I said, this is not like this quiz is not like this is exactly how you are. It's just a good insight. But we do want to challenge you guys. Don't turn off the podcast yet. The challenge is very important. This is how you apply it to your marriage. So in the next 7 days, take the quiz. We're going to leave it link to it in the show notes so you can take the quiz and then you can talk about your results with your spouse and kind of evaluate like, oh, while, you know, quality time has been good for our marriage, for you to show me love, what I think maybe we could adjust is maybe more acts of service and see how that improves our marriage. You know, just an ongoing conversation about how to love each other well. I think that's a really, really important conversation to have between you and your spouse.
Yeah. So guys, go take it and then talk about it. And I'm so looking forward to hearing feedback on what surprises came up and stuff like that.
Yes. Please share if you're comfortable sharing. Yeah. We would love to hear.
It is a bit personal, but we would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think others in the community would too.
Yeah.
So we love you guys as always. We will talk to you next Monday.
Bye.
See ya.